The Fifth Thursday in Lent, Christian Activity by St. John Chrysostom. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How may this fear be produced? If we but consider that God is everywhere present, that he heareth all things, that he seeth all things, not only whatever is done and said, but also all that is in the heart and in the depths of the soul, for he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we so dispose ourselves, we shall not do or say or imagine aught that is evil. For tell me, if thou hast to stand constantly near the person of a ruler, wouldst not thou stand there with fear? And how, standing in God's presence, dost thou not conceive fear and dread? Let it never be that thou despisest his long-suffering, for it is to bring thee to repentance that he is long-suffering. And when thou dost aught, never allow thyself to do it without being sensible that God is present in all things, for he is present. So then, whether eating, or preparing to sleep, or giving way to passion, or robbing another, or whatever thou art about, consider that God is standing by, and thou wilt never be led into overmuch laughter, never be inflamed with rage. If this be thy thought continually, thou wilt continually be in fear and trembling. For as much as thou art standing beside the king, the builder, though he be experienced, though he be perfectly master of his art, yet stands with fear and trembling, lest he fall down from the building. Thou too hast believed, thou hast performed many good deeds, thou hast mounted high. Secure thyself, be in fear as thou standest, and keep a wary eye, lest thou fall thence. For manifold are the sorts of spiritual wickedness which aim to cast thee down. Serve the Lord with fear, he says, and rejoice unto him with trembling. And how is rejoicing compatible with trembling? Yet this, be assured, is the only rejoicing. For when we perform some good work, and such as beseemeth those who do anything with trembling, then only do we rejoice. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says not work, but work out, i.e., with much earnestness, with much diligence, but as he had said, with fear and trembling, and had thrown them into anxiety, see how he relieves their alarm. For what does he say? It is God that worketh in you. Fear not, because I said, with fear and trembling. I said it not with this view, that thou should give up in despair, that thou shouldest suppose virtue to be somewhat difficult to be obtained, but that thou mightest be led to follow after it, and not spend thyself in vain pursuits. If this be the case, God will work all things. Do thou be bold, for it is God that worketh in you. If then he worketh, it is our part to bring a mind ever resolute, clenched, and unrelaxed. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do. If he does himself work in us, to will, how dost thou exhort us? For if he works himself even in the will, the words which you speak to us have no meaning. That ye have obeyed, for we have not obeyed. It is without meaning that thou sayest with fear and trembling, for the whole is of God. It was not for this that I said unto you, for he worketh in you both to will and to do, but my object was to relieve your anxiety. If thou wilt, in that case he will work in thee to will. Be not affrighted or wearied. Both the hearty desire and the accomplishment are a gift from him, for where we have the will, thenceforward he will increase our will. For instance, I desire to do some good works. He has wrought the good work itself, and by means of it he has wrought also the will. Or he says this in the excess of his piety, as when he declares that our well-doings are gifts of grace. As then, when he calls these gifts, he does not put us out of the pale of free will, but accords this to us. So when he says, to work in us to will, he does not deprive us of free will, but he shows that by actually doing right, we greatly increase our heartiness in willing. For as doing comes of doing, so of not doing comes not doing. Hast thou given an alms? Thou art the more incited to give. But hast thou refused to give, thou art become so much the more disinclined. Hast thou practiced temperance for one day? thou hast an incitement for the next likewise. Hast thou indulged to excess? Thou hast increased the inclination to self-indulgence. When the man cometh into the depth of vice, then cometh also contempt. As then when a man descends into the depth of iniquity, he turns a despiser. So whosoever enters the depth of godliness quickens his exertions. For as the one run riot into despair, so the second, under a sense of the multitude of good things, exerts himself the more, fearing lest he should lose the whole, according to his good pleasure, that is, for the love's sake, for the sake of pleasing him, to the end that we may do that which is acceptable to him, that the things may be done according to his will. Here he shows and makes it a ground of confidence that he is sure to work in us, for it is his will that we live as he desires we should, and if he desires it, he himself both worketh in us to this end, and will certainly accomplish it, for it is his will that we live aright. Seest thou how St. Paul does not deprive us of free will? And further, Paul added, I count not myself to have apprehended, but I am solely engaged on this one thing, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. For that is the meaning of this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Behold how, speaking thus, he shows what is which made him reach forward unto the things which are before. He then who thinks that all is accomplished, and that nothing is wanting to him for the perfecting of virtue, may cease from running, as having apprehended all. But he who thinks that he is still distant from the goal will never cease to run. This, then, we should always consider. If thou who have wrought 10,000 good deeds for a Paul after 10,000 deaths, after so many dangers, consider this, how much more should we? For I fainted not, saith he, although I availed not after running so much, nor did I despair, but I still run, I still strive. This think I only consider, that I may in truth advance. Thus too we should act, for we should forget our successes, and throw them behind us. For the runner reckons not up how many circuits he hath finished, but how many are left. We too should reckon up, not how far we have advanced in virtue, but how much remains for us. For what doth that which is finished profit us, when that which is deficient is not added? Moreover, he did not say, do not reckon, nor remember, but forgetting, to make us more zealous. For we then become eager, when we apply all diligence to what is left, when we give to oblivion everything else. Reaching forth, saith he, before we arrive, we strive to obtain. For he reacheth forth who endeavors to outstrip his feet, through running with the rest of his body, stretching himself forward and reaching out his hands, that he may accomplish somewhat more of the course. But this comes from greater eagerness, from much warmth. Thus the runner should run with great earnestness, with so great eagerness, without relaxation. As far as one who so run differs from him who lies supine, so far doth Paul differ from us. He died daily. He was reproved daily. There was no season. There was no time in which his course advanced not. He wished not to take, but to snatch the prize, for in this way we may take it. He who giveth the prize standeth on high. The prize is laid up on high. See how great a distance this is to run over. See how great is the ascent. Thither we must fly up with the wings of the Spirit, otherwise it is impossible to surmount this height. Thither we must go with the body, for it is allowed, for our conversation is in heaven, there is the prize. Seest thou the runners, how they live by rule, how they touch nothing that relaxes their strength, how they exercise themselves every day in the palestria under a master and by rule. Do thou to imitate them, or rather exhibit greater eagerness, for the prizes are not equal. Many are those who would hinder you. Live by rule. Many are the things which relax your strength. Make it agile for thy feet, for it is possible so to do. It comes not naturally, but by our will. Let us bring it to lightness, lest our swiftness of foot be hindered by the weight of other things. Teach thy feet to be sure, for there are many slippery places. and if thou fallest, straightway thou losest much. But yet, if thou fall, rise up again. Even thus mayest thou obtain the victory. Never attempt slippery things, and thou wilt not fall. Walk upon firm ground, up with thine head, up with thine eyes. These commands the trainers give to those who run. Thus thy strength is supported, but if thou stoopest downward, thou fallest, thou art relaxed. Look upward, where the prize is. The sight of the prize increaseth the determination of our will. This hope suffereth not to perceive toil or distress. It maketh the distance appear short. And what is this prize? No palm branch, but what? The kingdom of heaven, everlasting rest, glory together with Christ, the inheritance, brotherhood, 10,000 good things which it is impossible to name. It is impossible to describe the beauty of that prize. He who hath it alone knoweth it, and he who is about to receive it. It is not of gold, it is not of jewels, it is far more precious. Gold is mire in comparison with that prize. Precious stones are mere bricks in comparison with its beauty. If thou hast this, and takest thy departure to heaven, thou wilt be able to walk there with great honor. The angels will reverence thee when thou bearest this prize. With much confidence wilt thou approach them all in Christ Jesus. See the humility of the apostle's mind. This I do, saith he, in Christ Jesus. For it is impossible without his assistance to pass over so vast an interval. We have need of much aid, of a mighty alliance. He hath willed that thou shouldest struggle below. On high he crowns thee. Not as in this world, the crown is not there where the contest is, but this crown is in that bright place. In heaven thou receivest the prize.